You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Valerie Brandes is the founder and CEO of Jacaranda, an independent UK-based publisher she launched on her own back in 2012. With the aim of bringing the writings of a more diverse range of voices to market, Jacaranda and its writers have won multiple awards, and the publisher recently secured several partnerships which will help share those stories to a wider audience. Ahead of the pandemic, Valerie and Jacaranda launched the 20 in 2020 project with the aim to publish the works of 20 Black authors last year, titles which are now available on Audible. Here's Valerie now with the story of Jacaranda.
So we are Jacaranda Books, and we are a very traditional trade publishing company founded in 2012 in London. We publish trade fiction, non-fiction. We have a small YA list that we're hoping to grow and a small books in translation list that we're also hoping to grow. And we were founded for a number of reasons, but one of them was to directly address this issue of the lack of diversity in British publishing that was happening. Well, there was a lot of conversation around it at the time and a few reports that had come out, the Spread the Word report. It just seemed like the right thing to do at the right time. And then as soon as I launched Jacaranda, it was one of those things where the world rushed in to me to meet me, and suddenly the ambition for the business and the company and the ideals just expanded, and we just went from there.
Well, I want to dig into some of the past year's experience in growing the brand, almost 10 years now, I guess. But just talk to me a little bit about what you thought you could do in this space in having an impact.
I think my story is more of a story of a woman in business, I think, than a lot of the stories that you might typically have on your show, because I didn't really have any big ambitions about the business world or necessarily even the publishing world. I was living in America at the time. I had moved over there with my husband, and I was living in San Diego, and we had reached this critical moment in our marriage. It felt like I was a fish out of water in that environment. And I basically said to him, I'm going back to England. I'm taking my kids with me. I want you to come with me. But you know, if you don't, that's okay. I'm leaving. And I just took them. I got on a plane and I left. And when I landed in London, then I realized, okay, even though I was born and bred in London, went to university here and everything, I didn't know anyone, didn't have any job prospects, and I had these two children, one was 9, one was 12. So I needed to do something right away. And so long story short, I ended up getting onto the publishing studies course at City University. That's really where it all started for me. I met Andrew Franklin on that course. He came in as one of the industry heads. And he then told the course director about a job opening that was happening at Profile Books, where he's the MD, and that was for the office manager position, and I was able to get that job. And that was my first, really, and only job in publishing. But I was already 48 years old at the time, so I was a middle-aged woman with two children, essentially. And so I really didn't feel like I had many options, so I really had to create the opportunity for myself. And so that was the sort of real impetus behind Jacaranda, was I really need to find something that I can actually make a living at. And also, when I was younger, growing up in London, I used to read voraciously. We had Women's Press, we had Virago, and those companies were bringing over a lot of Black writers, specifically African-American authors. So Toni Morrison, Alice Walker, Tony K. Bambara, Paula Marshall. So these amazing books were available because these publishers were doing that work. And so I felt like, combined with this moment in publishing where there was all this discussion about not enough Black writers being published, not enough Black editors for a start, and not finding the kind of books that I wanted to read, and sort of finding myself back in London, but a very different London at that time. Nothing like the way I grew up in the 80s in London, you know, just sort of the vibrancy, the diversity, it just felt different. So it was all of those things that sort of coalesced into me thinking, I can do this, you know. And I started 2012 with just a logo. I didn't even have a website. I didn't have a computer. I mean, I had nothing. And so I just sort of started to go to events. I went to an event that used to happen called a Black Book Swap. It was organized by a woman called Trisha Womble. And I met Jacqueline Shaw. Jacqueline Shaw had just graduated from a fashion course, and she'd written this book. It was a dissertation she published, looking at 40 designers who source, produce, and manufacture ethically and sustainably on the continent of Africa. and it was all different fashion houses, whether they were local people. One of them was Bono's wife, who had a t-shirt label out of Uganda, and it was just such an amazing concept. And, you know, fashion is such an important part of all of our lives, so it felt like an important book to start out with. They also published Patrick Wilmot's novel Glass, and Patrick Wilmot was a Jamaican-born academic, had lived in Africa for some time and had written this book essentially about corruption in the reggae music industry, a novel. That same year, we were invited to the Kane Prize, which is the big prize for African writers. I met, you know, a number of amazing authors at that luncheon. And then before I knew what was happening, we had 6 new books. And it just kind of kept going from there, you know.
That's an absolutely incredible story, and so much in there. I can't even imagine the feeling of leaving to come back to your homeland with your kids and not knowing the life you're going to be going into, and then just setting out on your own. Absolutely fascinating. And of course, you've had great success. You mentioned earlier that your interest in this is being able to spot a good book or finding out there something that you would want to read, and have mentioned a couple of times as well, having been away from the UK and coming back, you noticed sort of a different cultural impact or a different sort of conversation or way of life that was happening in art and creative fields. How has that changed, and what does that mean for the types of books that you're looking for now?
So I think it's been a really interesting time to have founded this publishing house, because if we look at this arc of experience from those early days where, yeah, there wasn't a lot happening, we've always had an amazing history of black publishers in this country. So we've got, you know, the Huntley family and Bogle Overture. We have the Hansip Group. We have Margaret Busby and Alison and Busby. And the amazing, wonderful Verna Wilkins, you know, with Tamarind Press, Rosemary Hudson with Hope Road. So they've always been like lots of great publishing stories. But definitely there was a kind of a doldrum when it came to like books being published by black British writers. So we had Andrea Levy, you know, may she rest in peace, who was like the golden girl essentially of black British publishing, and Bernardine Evaristo, thank God she's finally got her recognition, and women like Aminata Fauna. But for the most part, there was not a lot happening. And then sort of fast forward to about 2017. So we published in 2017, we published Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story, which we had acquired from the US publisher. And that book came out the year after all of the sort of awfulness happened around, you know, the stalking and the murder of Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman. And also around about that time, then you started to get a bit more of a, especially the younger people were coming out with a lot more questions about the way that things were going and the atmosphere in the country. And so you had, I think at the same time, René Adelodge's book came out, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. And so there was a racial reckoning that kind of was happening, and it was beginning to get noticed. So I remember the Waterstones in St. James's in Piccadilly, they had a big window display of all these books about race. And that was about 2017. And we were definitely just ahead of that. We just had published Rest in Power, and we already had set ourselves up as, quote unquote, looking for black voices, you know, not entirely, but definitely focused there. And so suddenly everyone was sort of paying attention. And then you sort of keep moving forward. We're still trying to do what we're doing. We're occupying different spaces. And everywhere that we go, we're showing up slightly ahead of the curve and slightly and always having an impact in one way or another. So our next foray was into books in translation. The first book we published, we were focused on Francophone Africa, African authors to begin with. And so the first book we acquired rights for was Tram 83, by Fiston Mwanza Mujila, which ended up being longlisted for the Man Booker International Prize. And so that brought attention to the sort of questions around, you know, colonialism in translation and that sort of relationship between voices and, you know, who has the power and who's doing the translation for whom. So we were able to sort of sit in that space as black publishers supporting black writers. Like I said, the books are one thing, and I always know how to choose a book, but the business side of things is something else, especially if you're trying to have an independent publishing house without a proper dedicated sales team and without proper distribution. It's a nightmare. And that's sort of the kind of reality for the majority of the tiny presses like we are that are publishing, you know, 12 books a year. It's like it's barely sustainable at that level. And so by 2018, I was sort of at a real crossroads with Jacaranda, and I really was thinking, like, can I actually continue doing this? Financially, it was a no-go. And emotionally and mentally, you know, it was definitely hard at that point. So I kind of had this weird thing, like, I was sitting at my desk and I was like, okay, so this is what's going to happen. It's make or break. So we're going to publish in 2020, 20 Black British writers in 2020. That's going to be our banner year, okay? Like, everybody was planning for 2020. So 10 fiction, 5 non-fiction, 5 poets. So by the end of 2018, when I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore, we actually ended up hiring 2 new people because it was just a big deal. Jazz and I couldn't handle all of the work just by ourselves. And so Magdalene Abraha, who'd been at Bloomsbury, she joined us. She's an amazing nonfiction editor. And she came on and she said, okay, this is excellent. At the same time, I got an email from this woman who said, I think it's amazing what you do and I really want to meet you. And so we all went to meet her because we're just like, okay, let's all go. And she's like, I want to invest in your business. And so she gave us £25,000. So that was where we were at the beginning of 2019. We had 20 new books, £25,000. And we've never stopped since then. It was this crazy pivotal moment in our publishing. But from the beginning of 2019 to this day, it's just been insane. Like, I just can't even explain it. So we had that for the whole of 2019. We sort of were working on how we're going to promote this list. You know, it was catchy under that umbrella, so that was a good value to it. But at the same time, how we still have these 20 individual authors, how are we going to, you know, make the most for them? So we were able to partner with Foyles. We partnered with Audible UK for audio rights for the books. We had a whole big marketing publicity campaign. We published the first book in 2020, which was Jambi McGrath's brilliant nonfiction memoir, Through the Leper's Gaze. And then the pandemic hit. But we had already committed, you know, to that year, and it was a big deal for us. And I think it's like everything, isn't it? Hindsight is 2020. Had I known at the time, I would have been like, okay, we shut up shop for a year and we reconvene in 2021 and see how the land lies. But there was something that just said to me, just drive on, just keep on going and see how far we can get with this. About a month before the George Floyd murder, we had partnered with Knights Of. Amy Filone is another young Black woman starting a publishing company, children's publishing. And she has a bookshop, Knights Of Bookshop, and Roundtable Books. And we launched a crowdfunder together just before the murder of George Floyd. So at the beginning of that campaign, the first weekend, we were, say, about £10,000. And the following week, George Floyd's murder happened, and then by the end of it, we raised £175,000, which was just unheard of, you know. And again, just our whole business during that year, because we were there and we were publishing Black writers, and we had this amazing backlist, and we ourselves as Black women were all very much vocal and involved in what was happening. It was just incredible. It really was. It just took us to a next new level. And then we got approached by a number of bigger houses, you know, a couple of them for acquisition, one of them for partnership. And we sort of went through the whole negotiation process with David Shelley at Hachette UK. And he was just brilliant and really just, I felt really in good hands with him. So we agreed to partnership and we've just actually started now. We started last month. So that's where we are now.
Well, very well said. And thank you for bringing so many of these authors and voices to light. Sounds like we're in a wonderful place for so many different conversations and stories being told by a diverse range of people. So thank you for that. And thank you for your time. It's been very interesting.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for having me, Daniel.
Valerie Brandes, founder and CEO of the publisher Jacaranda. You can learn more at jacarandabooksartmusic.co.uk. My thanks to Valerie and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.